Blog Talk Radio.
I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pined, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me.
Good morning, precious saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. And, of course, I include myself in that beautiful hymn, Whosoever also includes me and you and all of us. Well, we are in studio today to start a new series. The series is entitled The Lord's How-To. The Lord's How-To. And it is based on 2 Peter Chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, 9. And 2 Peter 2, 9 reads, and I shall get there shortly, as I'm sure you're turning your pages also. 2 Peter 2, 9. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we come to you today again in great anticipation of fellowship, of koinonia, of sitting down with our Heavenly Father to break bread. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, as we learn something new, perhaps, about you. Perhaps we know this text. Perhaps we've studied it. Well, let this study then be a reminder of who you are and your greatness. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, to be worshipped at all times, to be thanked for everything. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts today. Touch our hearts today. Touch our minds today. If we're sick in body, touch our bodies today. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of Truth. Take over this class and lead us and guide us and direct us and point us to all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention to the outline. This is week number 25. Today is Tuesday, June 20th, and this study will go to Friday, June 23rd. But if you notice, it says series 24. Well, that's a typo. So I would ask you to correct it and turn that 4 into a 5. It's series 25, the Lord's How To. Our text for this week is 2 Peter 2:9. And today I want to emphasize that God, not a student of any how-to books. There we have a picture, there we have a drawing of a man who is learning how to do something, and he's turning to a book. The publishing industry is replete with thousands of how-to books. If you want to learn about carpentry, they have how-to books on carpentry. If you want to learn about plumbing, computers, you name it, any subject, any home repairs, gardening. You want to raise bees and you want to raise bees to get honey? There's a how-to book on that. There's a how-to book if you go to the Tractor Supply Store. They have how-to books on chickens, how to raise chickens, how to raise goats, how to raise sheep. They got all kinds of how-to books. How to build a shed. Not only is there books on the subject, but you go to YouTube. There are all kinds of videos on how to can tomatoes, how to make tomato sauce. How to. There are so many how-to lessons out there. In print, in audio form, you can get how-to material on CDs. You can get how-to materials on DVDs. I mean, it's a big industry. The how-to industry is a big, big, big industry. What is required is someone with the knowledge and the skill and the background and the experience and the success to be the author of the how-to book. But you also have to have students, people who want to learn how to. Well, in this text, I don't want you to think that God was a student at any time. No. The text says, and the Lord knoweth how to. But he knows how to not because he was a student. God was never a student. God was never clueless. God has always known all things perfectly and completely. He's known all things perfectly and completely. So God's how-to is not like our how-to. It's not. God is the infinite God, the all-knowing God, and you and I are finite creatures who learn by going to school and learn by doing, learn by experience. So, again, I don't want anyone to think that God is clueless, that God is not aware of some subjects and he has to inform himself by doing research the way we do. No, that's not the Lord. In fact, today I want to talk to you about, I want to highlight, I want to underscore three things about God. First of all, God is all-knowing. We call that God being omniscient. God is all-knowing. God knows all actual and all possible things and all subjects. Anything that's actual, anything that's in the now, anything that's happening right now, God knows it. Things are being done in secret right now. Things are being done behind closed doors right now. Things are being done in utmost secrecy right now for whatever reason. It's done in secrecy because the people who are doing these things don't want other people to know. But I can tell you for sure, God knows all things. God knows all things actual. Everything that's going on the face of the earth. In fact, everything that's going on throughout the entire known universe, on whatever planet it is, God knows all things simultaneously. He knows all things possible. He knows all things future. He knows what's coming down the pike. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow before it happens. He knows what's going to happen in July before it happens. He knows what's going to happen in August. He knows what's going to happen in December. God knows all things possible. God is aware of every possibility. God is aware of every subject imaginable to man. So I want you to know that God knows all things. He is what? Omniscient. And he knows this not because he's been an eternal student. As I said before, God has never gone to school. God has never matriculated for a course. God has never sat at anyone's feet to learn. He is the all-knowing God. Now, there was once a man by the name of Job, a godly man, a godly, godly man, who encountered trouble in life, who went through a dark period in his life, who went through a tough time in his life, and he questioned God. He had the audacity, poor thing, poor man, like we have. We go through tough times, we go through difficult times, and we kind of tend to mumble under our breath and say to ourselves, God must be clueless. God must be unaware. God doesn't know. That's what we say sometimes when we are grieved, when we're hurting bad, when we're having a pity party, when we think God has forgotten us. God has forgotten my situation. God doesn't care about me. These are the things that we tend to say. So let's go to Job 38. Job 38. Because God wants to correct in Job this notion that God doesn't know much. Job 38, verses 1 through 41. Here is a long series of questions that God presents to Job, because Job is questioning God's ability to know or God's depth of knowledge. Think about that. Here is a finite creature, a man named Job, who loves God, but like I said, his trials, his tribulations, his anguish of heart has caused him to question God. And God says, you don't question me. You're not my teacher. I'm going to give you a little pop quiz here to see what you know. I'm going to give you this little pop quiz to embarrass you so that you never question me again, so that you never take the posture that you're the teacher and I'm the student. Here's Job 38. Now ponder these series of questions. They're deep. These are some deep, deep questions for which Job has zero answers. Job 38, starting at verse 1.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind.
Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home? Do you know it because you were born then? Or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the Great Bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food?
Now, to all of those questions, Job had zero answers. And that's just one subject. That's just nature. nature. It was about creation. It was about the stars and the planet Earth, and the seas and the depths of the ocean and the boundaries, the land boundaries, the water boundaries. Just a few animals, not every animal, just a few. Here's a question about this fowl. Here's a question about this mammal. Answer them for me. Tell me something about the stars. Tell me something about where they're placed. Tell me something about the seasons. To all of these questions, zero answers. Why? Because he's the all-knowing God. God knows all actual things, all possible things. God knows all subjects. He's God. He's omniscient. So, in this lesson, I don't want you to think that when I say the Lord's how-to, I don't want you to think that God had to go to school, that God had to take courses, that God suddenly appeared but was not with complete knowledge, that it took God thousands of years to obtain the knowledge that he has now. No. God has always known all things perfectly and completely. If he didn't know all things perfectly and completely, then he would not be God. Secondly, not only is God all-knowing, he's all-wise. In Jude, turn to the book of Jude, that little book before Revelation. Jude chapter 1, verse 25. To the only wise God, who happens to be our Savior, there's only one God, and he's all-wise. Not only is he all-knowing, he's all-wise. To the only wise God, our Savior, be what? Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Listen, we are never to second-guess God. We're not to do like Job did. And we have, I certainly have, I know you certainly have, because it's human nature. It's the flaw in the creature to question the Creator when things go bad. We are never to second guess God. We are never to question God's decisions or actions. We are to say, like Job said early on, when all of calamity came upon him, he says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, he's all wise. God is all wise. And then finally, God is all truth. Whatever God tells us, you know, you read a lot of books. If you read books when you go through school, you discover at a certain point, hey, this book didn't contain truth. You look at the scientific books of today with all of the discoveries we've made, and you realize that the scientists of the 17th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, much of their books, which back then was declared to be truth, today have been debunked. Why? Because science got better. Because scientists became more knowledgeable. So what was truth back then may not be truth today. Why? Because man is learning. humanity is always learning. Whatever God said in Genesis was good back then, and it is good today. In primeval history, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Thus I will make him a helpmate. And it was good back then, and it is certainly good today. When God speaks, God always speaks truth. Only the serpent who plants doubt in our minds when he said, yea, have God said. Yea, have God. So God is all-knowing, he's all-wise, and he's all-truth. So when we think of God, when we think of the Lord's how-tos, I'm not inferring that God didn't know something, and then after a while he obtained knowledge and now he knows, or that when God does something, he doesn't know what he's doing. No. God, not a student of any how-to books. He's not. He's the teacher. He's the author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow as we continue to expand on 2 Peter 2:9. I want to leave you with this beautiful hymn. Listen to this hymn. It's going to bless your soul. God bless you, saints.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.